the parable that lies at the heart of today's gospel from chapter 21 of Matthew's gospel follows directly on from last week's gospel, and the parable, the third in the series that we'll have next week, also follows directly on from this week's. The three parables together form these stories of judgment, stories that are addressed primarily to the chief priests and the elders, the people who have taken Jesus to task after he has entered triumphantly into Jerusalem at the beginning of chapter 21 of Matthew's gospel on the day that we call Palm Sunday. And after he's cleansed the temple, the chief priests and the elders want to know, by what authority are you doing these things? By what authority are you cleansing the temple, doing the things that seem to be the actions of the Messiah of God? So the parable today that Jesus tells is a very unusual parable in that it's a direct allegory. It's a direct story that the people who heard the parable would have known immediately the context of who Jesus is referring to. The story that we have as our first reading today from the fifth chapter of the prophet Isaiah was a story that was well known, the story of the friend who had the vineyard. And then very quickly the story changes and turns to be a story about the judgment and condemnation of the whole nation of Israel for failing to take care of the vineyard that the Lord had entrusted her with. So also in the story today, it's a beautiful story as it begins. This image of this beautiful vineyard that is entrusted to these tenants. The Lord provides it. The Lord nourishes it. The Lord protects it by building the wall. He builds a tower in the very center to watch over it, to provide protection for this work, this action of nourishing and nurturing these vines to bring forth abundant fruit. This is what the purpose of Israel is. This is what the purpose of all of us are in our lives, to bring forth the fruit. Not because we own it, not because we possess the world, but because the Lord has entrusted it to us. The whole of creation has been given to us. We don't own it. It's not ours by right, but the Lord has carefully and lovingly given us this task and this duty to look after it, to care for it, and indeed to bring forth abundant fruit. And then the landowner goes away. He goes abroad. He wants us to have responsibility for this. He trusts us with this incredible task. And so he's not there looking after the miniature of the whole of the operation, but he goes away and allows us that responsibility and care to provide the fruit ourselves. Then it comes time for the harvest. It comes time for the Lord of the harvest to return to the vineyard, to expect the fruit that is being carefully provided to be nourished and brought into the fullness of the harvest time. And so he sends some servants to bring forth. The servants would have been the early leaders of the people, the elders, the chief priests, the way that they were meant to be, the prophets, the ones who called them into the fullness of that experience of life in the Lord. But the tenants reject that authority and say, no, we don't want to give over the fruit, even though we know it's not ours, we're only the tenants, but we want to claim it for ourselves. And so they take the servants to task, they beat them, and they kill them. The master then sends more servants, more prophets, more people to call the people of God back into task, back onto the project. But again, they reject them, they abuse them, they kill them. Justice in our own world, so many prophetic voices are still silenced, are still rejected, are still acted upon with violence and hatred. Finally, the master of the vineyard, the landowner, says, I will send my son. I will send the one that I love, because hopefully they will respect him. One can only imagine the expression on Jesus' face as he tells this story. You can imagine in this final week of his life, as he's standing there before the crowds, before the chief priests and the elders, there in the courtyard of the temple, saying these things with such poignancy as this story, and indeed as his whole life comes to this moment of profound climax, this moment when he knows that the things that he's about to talk about in story form will be enacted upon in just a few days' time. And so he tells the story of the son being beaten upon, being taken upon by the leaders, by these people, being rejected, being thrown outside of the city gates and being killed and being left to die outside of the city there in the wilderness. It's a moment of deep sadness as part of the story that we find really hard to come to terms with. How could they have felt like this? They had a kind of a historical basis to make this possibility. They knew that indeed, if they did beat and kill the son, the promised heir of this great gift of the vineyard, that there would be the possibility that the landowner would be so exasperated that he would just wipe his hands and walk away from this whole thing and allow these tenants to take responsibility for the vineyard themselves. What does this mean for us? What is the call for us? The Lord wants us to live lives that are fruitful, that are productive. He wants us to experience the richness and the fullness of life with Him. He wants us to bring forth abundant fruit. He wants our lives to be the source of richness and nourishment and the fullness of life. We're talking about wine after all. He's wanting us to experience that richness of life with Him. But we need to understand who we are in the broader picture of things. We need to understand that we're not the ones who own the world. We're not the ones who are able to declare God dead and take over possession of the whole world. So many secular voices in our world seem to declare that, seem to say, like, God is dead. Let's just wipe our hands of all of that. Let's claim this world for ourselves. But the Lord is saying, no, you can't rewrite what is, in fact, the truth, that we are only the tenants, that we have been given this job and this task, and it is our responsibility to do what we can to bring forth abundant fruit within our world. Let's reflect upon that. Let's allow these words of judgment to really sink deeply into our hearts and into our souls today, to reflect upon our place and our purpose in the world. What place are we taking? What purpose are we fulfilling? Are we people who bring forth abundant fruit in our lives? Are we worthy recipients of this, of being people who are the tenants of the Lord's harvest and the Lord's vineyard?